Well, I want to introduce to you Cole and Sarah McCauley. And Cole is going to become, maybe Sarah's going to be coming too. I don't know how they've planned to do this. They have a presentation. I told him this is the ministry of the word too. And so feel free to preach the word, to be in season and out of season, and to bring us that word then. But Cole and Sarah are ministering with, as you have already heard about Casa de Mi Padre, a ministry that Lori and I first became acquainted with through our time in St. Joseph, and Shane Sanderson, the founder of that ministry, and as I understand, is sort of releasing more and more of those responsibilities. Has that also come with the promotion and pay, or is that just voluntary? Well, all kidding aside, we're so delighted to have Cole and Sarah and their sweet family, and they'll be sharing with us, and then also will be available after the service to visit with you all as well. So Cole, come and share.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to be here with y'all. We wanted to come out to Maysville for a while, and usually Sarah and I do, we both take part in our presentation, but now, as you can see, with three little ones under three, it's tougher to do that. So she'll be there with the kids, and luckily her parents have come along, and we're so thankful. They always help us out whenever we come back here to the States, and it's a huge blessing for us. Yeah, so as Ed shared, my name is Cole McCauley, and my wife and I serve in Guatemala in the mountains of Santa Cruz del Quiche. And we serve at an orphanage there. We have 23 children, as was mentioned, but we also have 9 children who have turned 18, and they've moved out of our home, and we still want to help them. We're not done with them. The work's not finished, so we continue with them. So we've got a lot of kids we take care of, and then our own on top of that, and I cannot wait to share with you all. But I do want to get into the Word first. I've got a message for you all. It's a message for each and every one of us. It's a message that drives what we do at Casa de Mi Padre. And to be honest, this morning, we got into town, or into the U.S., I guess, into country, this last Thursday. And since then, I spent some time in North Kansas City. My best friend was getting married, and we had a great time with him doing that. And then we were at his wedding last night. And just listening to the confession of sin today, listening to the song that we just sang, it's broken my heart. And I knew this was going to happen. I don't usually cry in my presentations. I just go straight into it. But going into the stores I went to and seeing the people, we are living in a broken world, brothers and sisters. And it's tough, and we've got something that the world needs, that these people need. I went into some stores, and I just saw people, the things they were talking about, the despair that it just seemed that was over them. It was so hard to see, and I went to this wedding last night, and I love my friend, and he's a great believer also, and he reaches to lost people, so he had lost friends there. And talking with them, it was great to talk to them and get to know them and love them, but I could also see just the lostness and the hurt and the pain and the covering up of with drinking and partying and drugs. And I'm a former sinner like no other. I was terrible. I'm a former drug addict. And just that grace that God has given us, that mercy that we have, brothers and sisters, it's not time to play around. We've all got a divine purpose that God has put in us and created us with, a reason, people that he wants us to go out to and reach and pour into and heal and bring this freedom, this glory, this praise. We know how rich it is. We can't just hold on to it. So I'm excited to share with you the message that we have. It really speaks to that. And Isaiah 61 is where I want to read from. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture. But man, I know all of you have tasted the same mercy and grace, and so I hope, give me just a second, as you can look through your scripture. I just love to pray over us, and we can just unify in prayer and continue with the message this morning. Heavenly Father, our King, our Holy King, our Savior, Father, you could not be paired with our sin and our dirtiness and our rebellion, Father, and you must punish it. You must. And we know it, and we praise you for that, and we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the mercy that you've showed us through your Son. Father, we thank you for the freedom and the praise that we can give you. And I just ask today, Father, you would well that up inside of us, how rich and how true it is, that you would help our purposes to be your purposes, Father. And you would help us to think and analyze our lives. What are we doing with our lives to glorify you and make this known to others? We are here, Father. We are yours. We want to hear from you. So we thank you. We just ask that you guide the rest of this time. We love you, Father. We pray all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Okay, Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, this is just a beautiful, beautiful scripture. This is what we use at Casa de Mi Padre. It drives us to take care of our children. Oh, this is something I forgot. You're going to find out. I'm ADHD. So whenever I was talking about the brokenness too, our children in our home, you know, I see, you're going to hear some of the stories. You're going to see what's happened to some of our kids. I mean, it's all over. It's all over the world. But it's not only in Guatemala. I'm here. I'm going to share with you the glories of what God's doing in Casa de Mi Padre. I'm going to ask you if you want to be a part of it. But know that it's here in Maysville. It's here. There are people around. And there are purposes God has for you. Things that if you just take steps of faith, he will not let you fall. He will move and you will see great movements of his power and his healing and his restoration. But let's just get into it. I can talk all day. So, all right, Isaiah 61. Just a little pretext, or just to understand, Jesus just finished being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. So he's grown up. He's a middle-aged man, but he hasn't started his ministry. He just got finished being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He walks into Nazareth. And this is Jesus starting his ministry. Okay, he walks into Nazareth. He's going to teach. He asks for the scroll of Isaiah. He opens up to 61. This is what he proclaims. This is our Lord, our Savior, our guide, our example. And he is proclaiming why it is he came to this earth. So he is proclaiming it. Why it is, he's proclaiming why he brought you to this church. Why he restored you to him personally. Because he wants you to do the same thing. He's our example. So listen to these words and think about how we can walk in this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one there. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Why does he do this? That they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He tells us why it is he came. We know this. We've experienced it personally. We've seen the healing and the restoration he's given us, the freedom from sin, the freedom from shame. We know that we are free of these things that we've done in our past, but he wants to take that out to others. I just love it. To comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And I understand, brothers and sisters, you can't do that. You can't muster that up. But Christ chooses to use us, to take us. When he came, he didn't just come and say, I'm going to wave my hand over and heal all the people. I'm going to call 12 people. I'm going to call 12 disciples to me. And I'm going to call them to devote their whole life, their everything. But I'm also going to give them the greatest satisfaction they have ever experienced. Knowing why it is that I created them, sending them out. They're going to suffer. It's going to hurt. It's going to be a struggle. But they're going to experience the greatest joy they've ever known in their life. And as I mentioned, I'm a drug addict, okay? Or I was a drug addict. Now I'm a Holy Spirit addict. I can't get enough. I praise God because every day I just love walking and seeing where it is he's going to move. There's nothing better. And I don't do it perfectly. I still fail. I still mess up. We're all going to do it. But brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you today. Read that in your spare time. Ask God, have you taken that in and really felt that he believes that about you because he does, 110%. Don't believe the lies of Satan. He believes it, and he loves you. He wants to restore you, and he wants to take you out and use you. And then ask yourself, how do you want to do that through me? Guys, I just hope this is your number one goal, your biggest priority. I understand with family, with all kinds of things, with Chiefs football, not so much right now, but you know how it had been. These things can get in and just be the most, I don't know, the most attention-grabbing for each and every one of us. But let's think about our priorities. Critically think about what we're doing with our life, our resources, our time. And I just hope that God blesses you and he will touch your heart. If you sit there and think about it and ask God, what do you want to do? What is it? I'll do it. Whatever you want, he's going to touch you. He's going to open some doors. He's going to say, hey, you know, you could start a little ministry here in Maysville doing this with this group of people or these group of people. And he's going to provide, or he's going to lead you to some ministry. I'm going to talk about our ministry, but I don't care where you give, what you do. I just want to, I want to help you stir it up inside and hope that God is just moving to take you and lead you to be on mission 110%. I am no better than any other brother and sister here. I'm just doing my part in another part of the world. And so, brothers and sisters, I think that word was for you. I believe that is going to touch some of you, and I hope it's a huge, deep blessing. I've got to keep going on with the message and share what it is that God's brought me originally to preach. I wanted to preach that, but that is a heavy message upon my heart, and I'm excited to share that at some other churches here, but there's a lot of people who need us. A lot of people who need us. And these are the kids that need my wife and I, and these are the kids that we get to pour in. I'm going to share some stories here, but these are all of them. They're fun. It's a great bunch of kids. They've come from hurtful backgrounds and abuses. All the children who live in our home come to us after having been gone through abuse, neglect, abandonment, whatever it may be. Then a government agency usually finds out about it, or the police pick them up, and then they bring them into our home, and they are appointed under our protection and care to make sure that they're going to be okay there in Guatemala. So that's how our children come to us. I'm going to go ahead and do a video first, and then I'll continue on after that. So if you could start the video, you can. Well, we like sharing that video. There's nothing like pictures to explain and express so much about what's going on. That's our family. That's our family. That's our mission. As I said, each and every one of those kids came beaten, abused, neglected, or abandoned, treated terribly, many in terrible states, which I'll share with you here in a second. But if you knew them today, you wouldn't realize any of that had happened to them. And as we read there in Isaiah 61, why does God do this? Why is it that he comes and restores these lives? The last verse said that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. It's for his glory. So as I tell these testimonies and you see the changes in our kids, I hope we just praise him. And if you're struggling with some things in your life, I hope you believe that he can do it in your life, because he will. And if you know someone who's struggling, I hope you go in with passion, with confidence, and share with them, because he can. He's the God of restoration. I'm telling you, if you would have seen me, my mullet was all the way down here. It was crazy. It was wild. It was a lot of fun. I was a wild child, but I praise God for the work he's done in my life. So, all right, if you go to the next photo here, I'll go ahead and keep sharing with you some of these stories. This is Ricardo and Isaul. Ricardo is the little boy on the left, and Isaul is the guy on the right there. They came to us earlier this year. Whenever they came, they just had been treated very, very badly. Their mother, their father was a trucker, and he only came home a couple days a month, and the mother would just beat them often and often and often. If they came home and just, she couldn't handle the stress is what it seemed like. It was really tough for her, and she just reacted. If they didn't listen or be quiet, they'd hit them. If they didn't clean up how she told them, she'd just start beating them. Whenever Ricardo came into our home on his bottom, you could tell it was with, they call it leña, but I mean, it's just like a small log is what she would use to beat him. His whole bottom, I mean, it was 6 inches by 12 inches, all black and blue across his rear end. And so he had marks all up and down his arms. Isaul had marks up and down his arms and some scars on his head where hair didn't grow anymore. But he wasn't nearly as beat up as bad as Ricardo. And I remember with Ricardo, the first day in our home, we focus on disciplined living. And so we have expectations in the home. We wake up in the morning. Everybody kind of has their schedule. We wake up. Everybody gets out, takes their shower, makes their bed, cleans up their room. And they just, they know exactly what to do, and they do it well normally. But whenever kids come in and they're new, it takes a while to get used to it. We also have little rules, like one morning we have a garden area. We don't walk through the garden area so we don't destroy the flowers. So little Ricardo and many of the kids do it, just ran through it, not anything harmful or anything. So Ricardo, venga para acá. He needs to come here. I'm going to show you something. And he came around this way, and I picked him up, and I was just going to tell him, hey, Ricardo, you know, these are the areas that we don't walk through. And I picked him up first. Whenever I grabbed him, I mean, his arms grabbed me, and his eyes got really big, but I put him up on my hip, and he just urinated. He couldn't control it. He was so scared about what was going to happen. And I told him, hey, it's all right, Ricardo, don't worry. I'm just telling you kind of what are the rules of the home. And put him down, and he felt more comfortable, and so, okay, yeah, I won't do that. Okay, all right, that's all we need, buddy, that's enough. And let him go run off and play. And the next morning, I had to teach him about something else, but the same thing happened. And he just was terrified from any type of grabbing. He had no idea what was going to happen to him. But Ricardo and Isaul, they came. They were a little bit wild. It's kind of hard to take care of them. You're taking care of 23 kids, and then you have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, which we hadn't had for a while, any kids under 5 for about, a year and a half before that. So we kind of were used to that, and you got to change your mindset whenever those little kids come in. They test your patience, but you can move on to the next photo, and there they are now. This is their first birthday party. They were going crazy. Isaul was dancing like crazy. It was a whole lot of fun to see him. You can go to the next photo. There's Mr. Isaul. I love his smile. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his eyes or just the way he smiles, but it just fills me with a lot of joy. Next photo, please. There's little Mr. Ricardo, though. Like I said, there's just a lot of fun in our home. We keep teaching them. We are very focused on teaching the Word of God. We have devotionals in the mornings, in the evenings. Often, everything we do, our discipline, our correction, just the encouragement that we do, it's all biblically based, and we just 24/7, we are teaching them the Word of God, what He thinks about them, and how He desires them to live. So it's a lot of fun to help them grow up. You can go to the next photo, please. This is Elda and Lucrecia. They were probably, as you can see, they were the most devastated, I guess, whenever they came into the home. It was the saddest time. Some kids come in and they're just not even affected at all. They've been living in the streets. Nobody's really cared about them. I just had a kid recently, our most recent kid. He was there for one day, and the next day I'm like, hey, so how you feeling, Thomas? And he said, oh, I'm feeling good. I feel like I belong here. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I'm like, you do, buddy. I believe God's like put you here. He has great purposes for you. And he's like, yeah. And then he asked me a question, which I've never been asked anything. That question's never hit me this hard. But he said, so how'd you come to start caring for all these kids that nobody wants? And I'm like, oh, man, that hit me. That's tough. But I said, well, no, okay, some people may not have treated you right or cared for you as much as they should have, but buddy, that's why you're here. We love you. We want you here. And it was a sweet little thing. But he's come in, and he didn't cry one bit. He's just like, what's going on? What can I do here? Can I do that? He's just excited about it. But Elda and Lucrecia, they came devastated, just crying, uncontrollably screaming, not knowing what's going on. The woman who dropped them off said she was their mother. She dropped them off. She said she was an addict and an alcoholic, and she just couldn't take care of them anymore. So the government agency brought them to the home, and they, I don't know why she was there with them, but she was there as they said goodbye, and they're screaming, not knowing what's going on, just terrified about what's going to happen to them. And we bring them into the home completely. I had a great distrust for men. I couldn't get anywhere around them. The guys in the home couldn't get around them. But the women were able to take them in, get them showered up. We get them new clothes whenever they come in. Really, we don't try to push ourselves on the kids whenever they come in. The best thing we can do is love the other children. Just keep taking care of them. And by observation, the kids will go, you know, I think I'm all right. I think I'm gonna be okay. I think this is a safe place. These are good people. And they start to open up. And then the kids just start playing with them. Within a matter of weeks, maybe 1 week normally, they just completely turn around. They know they're safe. They know they're okay. And they really start to come out in who they are. Elder and Lucrecia, though, so they came. Every once in a while, we have to have government revisional hearings, court hearings, and find out, are there family members who do want them, who they could go with, which sometimes is a dangerous scenario, and we really have to advocate. I personally go to the court hearings and advocate for the children and make sure that they're going to go to a good home, or if we find out things about the parents being abusive or whatever it may be, or an aunt or uncle that's abusive, we really have to fight for them and make sure they go to good homes. But that's another thing. So we went to one of their court hearings. We ended up finding out that Elda and Lucrecia aren't sisters at all. They don't have the same mother, but they don't have any blood relation at all. And so later on, they ended up finding an aunt who cared for them, but she just didn't have the resources to be able to raise them and take care of them. But the aunt had told us that Lukey, they're not even related. It was the sister of the woman who, I don't know how she got the children. I don't know if she took them or what. She said that somebody gave her Lucrecia, and so that's why she had her. And the aunt said that, yeah, she was given the child, but she couldn't take care of them, that the mom would often beat them and treat them very badly. There was a guy in the home that abused them, and so I think that's where they had a lot of fear of men and whatnot. But Elda, the little girl, was found in a trash can in the local market. So a mother just had her baby, and I don't know why, but dumped her in the trash, and the so-called aunt, but she's not any relation to her, had found her and brought her over to the mom, and that's how they came to us. It's a wild story. Sometimes they're hard to follow and understand what has happened to them, but they came just terrified, not knowing what's going on in their life. Many times Lukey said that the woman she was living with would threaten their life and chase them like with a knife in the home. I mean, just traumatized. They had distrust of absolutely everybody. But if you know our girls now, you can go to the next picture. This is Elden Lucrecia now. They are just sweet as could be. It took a while to gain that trust, but Lukey is a caregiver. So obviously she had to take care of her little sister a lot, but from the time she got into the home, she'd go put her sister in bed whenever she'd fall asleep, take her shoes off, put her blanket up on her, and she just, I believe God is going to do great things with her compassionate heart to just care for others. And the way she came to Christ, I don't have time to tell it, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful story where she trusted and had just a personal time with God. She said she'd never been alone with God before and just knew he was there and put her trust in him. But I'm really excited to see what God's going to do with her. You can go to the next photo. There they are again. Mrs. Lucrecia is here on y'all's left, and Elda there on the right. Elda's just a ball of fun, just loves to laugh and giggle and mess with you and run off, and she's just a lot of fun. But they're growing up, and we're really excited for them. Next photo, please. There's Miss Elda and Sarah. Next photo. There's Miss Lukey. So different times we'll take the kids out and take them to do evangelism. We have these evangel cubes and whatnot, and just teach them different apologetics and different ways that they can sit and talk with people and understand how to reach people and help them understand the gospel. So Lukey, from one of the first times we took her out there, she just as bold as could be. She just sits down with this family, just starts telling with them what had happened in her life and her past and what's going on now and how good God is. If you go to the next photo, she went up. She's talking to a Mayan idol maker. If you can see, there's like clay Mayan idols that are making there. So, I mean, just bold as could be, just walks up there and starts sharing the gospel. And I promise she's not about to punch him. But in the photo, it just caught her in that moment. But a real sweet girl, really excited to see what God's going to do in her life too. Next photo, please. So Juanito and Reina, they also have, before Lukey and Elda, they were probably one of the toughest stories to imagine what could have happened to them. But they lived with their stepmother. Their father also worked, wasn't in the home a whole lot. They had to take care of there in Guatemala, stepchildren aren't like your own children for a lot of people. They just have this belief and this idea. And so a lot of times they'll use them as kind of servants or just to do whatever in the house. So they had to take care of the younger kids. They had to cook. They had to clean the home. Whenever they wouldn't, they would just get beaten. Like I said, many of our boys, but Juanito's one of the worst, all over his head, just places where hair won't even grow anymore because of how he was treated. But one of the worst parts, so Reina, one day her stepmother went to do something. She told Reina she wanted 300 tortillas made because she was going to sell them in the afternoon. So she needed to have 300 tortillas made. Whenever the stepmother got home, the tortillas were not made, and she continued to beat her and then took some type of plastic and burnt her all around her stomach, all around her waist. That's how she was found. The police went in and took her out of the home and then brought her to us. But she also, just very meek, mild, I mean, I think at the beginning it was a very scared personality. But now she is just, she was the first girl who's kind of like my daughter in the home. And I love her to death. She's a sweet young girl. If you go to the next photo, you can see them now. They've grown up. Next one. There they are. She's as beautiful as could be. Raina, actually I'll be sharing about her a little bit more in a second. So we'll just continue on so we have more time. There's Miss Raina. Precious, beautiful young lady. So those are just a few stories of how some of the children come to our home. But each and every kid have different stories like that. And it's just, it's really sad. It's really tough. But it's also a great opportunity to see the transformation and the glory of God in these kids. Because you wouldn't know. You'd have no idea today. As I mentioned before, we also help our kids transition out. We don't want to just be done with them. Whenever they're 18 years old, what we do right now, we tried doing a couple Americans running some transitional homes where the kids would go and live with Americans, but we believe that doesn't help set them up for success, and we had some struggles with them understanding their culture and what's expected of them and different things they have to do. So now we look for Guatemalan families who will take the children in. They'll love them, care for them, give them food, give them housing. We continue to provide for all of their education. And so we'll help them out as long as God provides until their doctorate. Whatever it is they're capable of doing and that God calls them to do, we're going to be able to help them do that. And we've seen some good success. We're in the initial stages of doing a transitional process, but we have a few kids who have graduated. The rest of them are studying, but they're doing very well, and we're very thankful for that. So I'll just share about a few of the kids who are in our transitional ministry right now. This is Peter. He was one of our first boys to leave. He's kind of the star of the ministry right now because he left about a year and a half ago. He ended up getting his seminary degree, and then this November, so next month, he's going to be getting his, it's like a master's in theology. And so he's really excited. He wants to be a pastor, but he's just a hard worker. He although we paid for his education, he went out and got a job. He wanted to make sure he was doing something. He works in a medical clinic with labs and whatnot, and he just runs errands and does whatever he can for them. And this year, in November, he's also going to be entering into college. He passed his exams, and he's going to be studying psychology. So we're really excited for Peter to see what God's going to do with him, and he's just a fun young guy. It's fun whenever he comes back to the home. He lives in a city 3 hours away, but he really pours into the kids and preaches to them, and it's just fun. It's fun. I think it gives our other children a lot of hope, too. So we love Peter, and we're very thankful for him. Next photo, please. There he is with his seminary degree in theology. Next one. And that was whenever he found out that he was accepted into the university. So he was actually at our home during that time, and it was a lot of fun. Next photo, please. This is Miss Raina. Like I said, she was one of the first girls that, Shane, there was a founder of the ministry. He was always Papa Shane. That's what they call him. They all call him Papa Shane. I showed up whenever I was 24 years old. So I was just another kid there messing with them and knowing them, and so it's taken a while. But a few of them grabbed on. A lot of the boys didn't see it. It wasn't going to be Papa Cole. I can't be Papa Cole. I'm too young for that. But some of the girls felt just, they knew that I loved them and knew that I cared for them. Raina was one of the first ones. She reminds me of my sister, just a very bubbly personality, very fun, very loving, and just a servant's heart. She just is really sweet. She's one of the first kids in our home who said that she wanted to be a missionary when she grew up. So she's gotten out of the home, and this November she's going to be graduating with a nursing degree. She'd like to go on to get, it's kind of like a nurse practitioner degree, but that's a great degree to be able to use if you want to go into missions and whatnot. So we're also excited to see what she's going to do, and is she going to go to another country and do it? Is she just going to do the mission there in her place? Because that's, don't forget, brothers and sisters, that's a mission. Here in your jobs, there are lost people in your jobs and your work. That's what I was reminded last night at the wedding I was at. My friend, he just works with so many lost people, and he's told me about some stories, some success stories where people have come to Christ and he's gotten to know them. In your jobs, in your place of work, is a great mission field, and I hope that, the weight of what God is calling us to do and providing for you to be able to do in your workplace, if you just step out in faith in that. Next photo, we'll go ahead and continue. There's Peter, that I already talked about him. His brother is Reuben. Reuben is now living in another town about 2 hours away and living with a pastor. He's just growing up. He's been out of the home for 1 year, but he's going to culinary school. He likes to cook, so, and I love it because he'll come home and cook for us whenever he comes to Casa de Mi Padre. And Yeah, he's also going to seminary. He hasn't finished yet, but I think he's got another half of a year. And those brothers, they're going to be they might be rivals for what is it, the brother or thunder? What do they call? John and the brothers of thunder or the sons of thunder? Yeah. We'll see. They may rival them a little bit. So there are some good brothers and a real blessing to our home. Sons of thunder. That was it. Next photo, please. This is Sandra, another just sweetheart in our home. She has a very, very tough, honestly, her story is another one of them that's just really, really terrible about some of the stuff that had happened to her. But just a real sweet, meek young lady. She has been going to school for technical drawing, so she wants to be an architect, and she's getting ready to start the university. She just does really well when she comes home. She spends time with Sarah and I in our house, and just again, like our own little daughter, really, really sweet young lady. Next photo, please. This is Mr. Antonio. So Antonio, honestly, and this is something I want to share. I'll just take a couple minutes to share. You see these beautiful stories, and it's true. These things happen, but there's a lot of tough times that go on. There are a lot of hard things that go on in the home. It's not all these stories. These are what I'm going to come and share. I'm not going to share the things that are going to make you cry. But Antonio was one of our kids who just was one of the toughest kids, most rebellious. I was like him. I've had to learn a lot about how I treated my parents whenever I was younger, and I regret a lot of it. I just feel terrible for the way I treated my parents. And I've had to suffer through the same thing with Antonio whenever he was living in our home. At one point, we had 8 boys who were in between 14 and 18 years old. So it was a very tough time, and he was kind of the leader in that time of some of the rebellion and bad attitudes and whatnot. Nah, I don't want any of that and this and that. I'm sure many of you have experienced children like that at times. But Antonio, we just continued loving him, teaching him, correcting him. We always taught him what was right, but we also gave him mercy and just tried so many different things. And in our home, we never saw any of the fruit. There was a lot of hatred. There was a lot of just hurt and pain. But it was 1 month before he ended up transitioning out of our home. He ended up accepting Christ and getting baptized. And he really seems to be doing well. I'm sure it's really hard right now. He's going from a life of complete rebellion and just hatred of the things of God. But he calls me up every once in a while, probably every month, and we just sit and talk and see how he's doing. He's studying computer science, so just dealing with computers and whatnot, and I don't know all that technology stuff. But he's doing that, and I think he's doing well. We recently, he couldn't find a job. It was really hard for him, so my wife and I helped him buy a whole bunch of used shoes, and so he started selling used shoes there in the street, and that shows some effort instead of just sitting at home and doing nothing. And I'm really excited to see what God's going to do with him, but he's still a work in progress, as we all are. Next one, please. All right, this is Miss Christina. So actually, there's 2 girls in our home through in the middle of the pandemic. They could no longer live with the families they were living with. The families didn't have enough resources to be able to take care of them, provide food and everything that they needed. So Sarah and I opened up our home, and Christina was one of the girls who was able to come and live with us. Christina also is just a girl who's just doing wonderful. She's a lot of fun, bubbly, always laughing, always giggling, a little too much for me sometimes, but that's okay. We keep loving her and caring for her, and she helps out with Sarah with our kids and helps take care of them. She's a huge blessing to us. But she had been studying bilingual secretary work. So she wants to be a secretary, but she can translate. She can, I don't know, you know, like work at a hotel or something. There's a lot of tourism there in Guatemala. And so she just found out probably a day before we came here that she passed all of her exams and that she's going to be entering into the university. And she's just really excited for that. And she's going to start a translating job also, doing like telemarketing. I guess it's not translating. It's just doing telemarketing, and they can pay people a lot cheaper in Guatemala to do it, so they don't do it here in the U.S. But she's really excited. She's really doing well. She's a bright young lady. So next photo, please. This is Miss Fermina. She also is another girl who did not have a home. She ended up moving in with my wife and I, and also just helps out with the kids, a real blessing to us. She's studying accounting. It's not really what she wants to do, but she just didn't know what to study. But she, did she just graduate too, or does she have another year? She has one more year, I think. Well, she's got one more year in her studies, but from the time I arrived there, whenever I was 24 years old, and I'm 32 now, she's been the number one student in every year of her class. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal student and really, really bright. But she's mentioned quite a few different things. She wants to be a teacher or a lawyer or a doctor. So she's going to try to figure out what it is she wants to do, and she's got time to do that. But she's a blessing. She's really sweet in our home. Next photo, please. There's a family photo with all of us there. And just real sweet young girls. Next photo, please. All right. You can go ahead and pass this one. That's right. We teach our boys how to drive the motorcycle, but I don't need to talk about that too much because that's an essential skill they need to learn down there. And if you don't have parents, you don't learn that. There's Sarah making some pies with the kids. Next photo, please. Next photo. Yes, it's delicious. We love it. The kids love it. We'll go out and pick berries and then come back, and Sarah helps. Well, she's been a little busy recently, but I had helped in the past making pies there with that. Next photo, please. This is a picture of our Bible quizzing. There's a few of you that mentioned that you know about Bible quizzing here, and it's another way that we just get the Word of God into our kids' hearts and minds. And these kids know more Scripture than I do. I've been following Christ for 11 years, and they know so much. So I'm really thankful that Shane has a heart for that, because they really get the Scripture into their mind and their hearts. But we open it up to the kids of our city also. They can come and be a part of it. And it's a huge blessing for our children and other kids who are in there. If you go to the next photo, Bible quizzing, if you don't know what it is it's just you've got three teams and you memorize Scripture and they ask questions and you try to answer and repeat and recite Scripture, but you can win prizes. We do a trip for the team who wins their Bible quizzing a tournament at the end of the year, and just some different ways where the kids can have fun learning Scripture, win prizes, and I don't know, it's just a lot of fun. So, next photo. There's some of us just out on a hike and getting some flowers. Next one, please. Next photo. All right, so some of the ways that you guys can get involved, everything that we do, we raise our own support. We raise the funds for the mission. As Shane is kind of transferring out, Shane Sanderson is his name. He's the founder. He's been running the ministry for 11 years. He's still there. He's overseeing the ministry, but he also realizes that he's getting older. And so, through years, we've built a great relationship, and he believes I'm the man to run the ministry here in the future. So, in the last 2 years, I've started directing all the operations in the home and managing staff and childcare and the way that we pour into and disciple and teach the kids. So we have a great relationship and we love it, but part of that is that we also start raising funds for the ministry. So here's some different ways that y'all can get involved in our ministry, and we just ask you, if God's touching your heart, reach out to us, talk to us after the service. I'm sorry, go ahead and go back to the next one, or to the first one, yeah. You can get involved by praying. So every single month, we've got a prayer letter out there. We send out different stories, some of what you've heard here, some other the stories of what's going on, different events in the kids' lives, just movements of the Spirit of God that we've seen. And we just write a letter each and every month and share with our supporters what it is that God is doing at Casa de Mi Padre. And on that, we also put different prayer requests. I'm telling you, I have never been a place I've seen the hand of God move more. And so if you are a prayer warrior, I need you. I need you. Sign up. I love to have you praying for us. We're always putting needs out there. We also I just read the letter into a podcast form, and you can just listen to it because that's how I like to do it rather than reading. But we'd love to have you join us praying for the kids in our ministry. Next photo. And then also by giving. As I said, we raise all the funds. These are just a few of the things that we do to provide for the ministry, my wife and I. And we have a budget there in the pamphlet that y'all were given. We care and provide for two of the transitional girls. That was Christina and Fermina, who live in our home. We pray for the education of three other transitional children, so we help them continue to further their education and all that they need for that. Recently, we had to increase our staff pay. This is a crazy... I'm just going to say it real quick. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it's something that we've had to do and a step of faith that we've had to take. Back on slide two, please. Oh, can you go back to the slide two? So our for the longest time, we just followed what our pastors around the area and kind of the board members of the orphanage were telling us how much people got paid. Recently, we found out that that's not in line with how much we have to pay in Guatemala, and there's some different things, different bonuses that people have to pay because people got into government offices and promised that if you vote for me, I'm gonna give this to you, and they get like three bonuses extra a year, which is like three extra month's pay each and every year. But anyway, we weren't in line with all that. We have a prayer letter that goes much more into depth to it. My wife and I are taking the steps to follow God and obey in righteousness what he's asking us to do. And we have to start paying our staff $3,191 more a month than what we had had before. It's crazy. It's an absolute crazy number. I get it. If you want to talk about numbers, we can do it sometime. It's real. It's sincere. It's just what we have to do. But we have seen, I'm telling you, we've seen the hand of God move. My wife and I, there's some different things we've had to do in hiring psychologists, a social worker, some different things that we've had to do financially to take care of children. And we didn't have the funds whenever we did it. But we follow, we've been reading George Mueller quite often in our life. And we've seen the hand of God move for different types of acts of faith. And so we just say, God, we go to him in prayer. We ask him what it is he wants us to do. And we take the step of faith. This next month, we're going to start paying that much more. That's $3,191 that we don't have. We don't know where it's come from, but we've done it before. We've taken other steps of faith where it's $600. We've never done it this big, but it's $600 or whatever it may be. And we've seen it. Somebody sells a house and says, hey, we'd like to tithe from this. Somebody's put on some event in a church and they say, hey, we'd like to give this. And the money just comes. God gives us absolutely everything we need. What we focus on is Matthew 6:33. Seek first ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That means everything you need, not everything we want, but if we need it for his kingdom and his glory, he'll provide. And we've seen it just from out of nowhere. God provides. And so he may be doing that through you. If you feel touched today, come and talk to us. We'd love to have you join us. We need people. But most of all, we just need God to provide. We've seen him do it. And it's really fun. So a couple of other things. We also pay the rent of the home. That's $10,000 every year, but we already have that. So praise God. We're doing good on that. And then we raise the personal support to take care of our kids and pay for their homeschooling education that they're not doing yet, but they will be. So we need to think about it. Next photo, please. And then by going, by coming, that's how you can get involved. We're currently building a permanent Casa de Mi Padre. We rent the home that we are in, but we're building one that is permanent. It's ours. The kids never have to worry about losing their home. Right now, something could happen, and we could lose the home that we're in. And God would provide. We'd find a place. But that's something that we need to do is to build a home, and Shane is just really working hard on that. So there's construction groups that come down and help us build the home. There are evangelism groups where you go out and preach to people in different areas, do activities to bring people in. There's lots of ways you can get involved. You can come in all the groups. You come to the home and know the kids and play with them and pour into their lives. But if that's something your church would be interested in, we'd love to have you come down and we can get that worked out also. So you can go to the next photo. And there's just a few family photos here where you can see how the kids have grown up. Next one, please. Next photo. I think there's one more. All righty. Well, that's Casa de Mi Padre. That's what we do. I thank you guys so much for being able to come out here and to share with y'all. And we'd love to talk with you some more after this. We hope that God blesses you, all the efforts, all the steps of faith that you guys are taking. We just hope that God is, my wife and I were praying for y'all before this. Whoever it might touch, man, we're just excited to see what God may do through some of these things. But thank you very much. Yes.
We want to give you an opportunity to ask any questions. Your question might be the same question that several people have, and so this is to kind of help Shane and, or not Shane.
Cole. That's all right.
My goodness. I know why I said it, but mm-hmm. Cole and Sarah from basically answering the same question over and over again. So does anyone have a question for Cole this morning or Sarah that they would like to ask? All right, Marcia. The question is why they chose Guatemala, why the founding of Casa de Mi Padre.
Yeah, yep. So Shane Sanderson, he was actually, we're kind of a homegrown ministry, pretty close to here, right out of South End, St. Joseph, Missouri. Shane started a youth ministry there, and long story short is his heart changed from a youth pastor's heart to a father's heart, but he didn't have his own family. And he went to some different areas. He checked out India. But whenever he went to Guatemala, he went to this city that is the third largest county or state in the area, but there was no orphanages there. There was nobody. Guatemala is only 30 years out of a huge civil war that had happened. So whenever he went there, it had only been out of this civil war for 20 years. And many children had lost their mothers or fathers in this war. And there were a lot of orphan children. And so he went down there. He went on the trip. He saw the need. There was nobody in that town. It's kind of hard. It takes us 3.5 hours to get to where we're at. We're in the mountains down there in Guatemala. But he just saw the need, and God confirmed it, and he has blessed him each and every step and provided for everything. Yeah, thank you.
Someone else? All right, right here, Laura.
Yeah.
Short-term mission groups. I'm repeating this for the sake of people who might be listening later. The question again was, do you have short-term mission groups that come during the year?
Yeah. Yep. We've gotten back into doing groups again. January through October, we do different groups. And then, well, it's January through September. But in October, November, and December, that's family time. We do a vacation with the kids, and that's just time for us. But all through January on, we do one or two groups a month who come down and help take care of kids. Like I said, they can build, do evangelism events, just come in and minister to the kids, have fun, get to know them, help out with some things around the home or something. But yeah, we do that each and every year, so we enjoy it.
What else? Well, I know that Cole and Sarah will want to meet you after the service, and so we'll give you opportunity to do that. And just to remind you, you know, something that keeps coming back to my mind and my heart, and don't you love the passion that you and the what you see from Cole in his desire to serve these children, their desire to serve these children. It just reminds me of what James told us in James 1, that true religion and pure is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep yourself unstained from the world. And so this is our one of the ways that we see the outworking of the gospel is through ministries such as these. So I would like to pray for you guys and pray for us, and then we're going to move into a time of response. We'll sing a hymn of response, and you can respond how you see fit. Maybe the Lord's been moving in you to be more compassionate, to look for a way to help a ministry like this, and we want to encourage you to do that. There's lots of information on the inside of your bulletin, and a lot of what has already been talked about. But just some of the needs that have been shared are rather unbelievable, and it's kind of hard to put our minds around that. But it's walking in faith. Mm-hmm. So, join me in prayer. Our Father and our God, as we have listened, as we have been encouraged, as we have been informed and inspired by what Cole has shared this morning, we pray a blessing on him and Sarah and their sweet and growing family. And as they serve there in Santa Cruz and as they are a part of this ministry and in fact leading and directing that ministry more and more, we pray that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Thank you for these moments that we've shared today, and may you receive all of the honor and the glory and the praise for it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.